Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, it's October 2nd, and this is 2012, and Wall Street is still occupied. We've got a show for you tonight, and we're in solidarity every damn day. That's the mantra, every damn day. We're systems busting. We're here as long as they're there, because I can't be there, I can be here. Well, you get where I'm coming from. Last night, the president talked about standing with and for and up and with everybody. I think it was Saturday or yesterday. You know, I never saw him standing up with the people in Madison, Wisconsin. And he's certainly not standing up with any of the unions or any of the people and any of the occupied, I guess we can call them occupied territories now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and today with me on the show, we have, of course, it's Sunday, so it's Jack Jodell from the Saturday Afternoon Post. Thank you for being with us, Jack.
Yeah, hi, everybody.
And our guest today is another member of the Round 3-7 Shout Out to the World crew, and that would be one of the biggest shouters who makes a lot of sense. and who always captures your attention, and that's a video, the video blogging styles of Kevin Blanche. It's Kevin D. Blanche, isn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, I got to separate myself there from the race car driver.
Well,
there's
an
Indy race
Kevin?
Car driver with the same name.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is he a stock car driver or a Formula?
No, he's an Indy car driver. The internet has exposed all of our names out there to find out there's a whole bunch of all of us all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Now, for anybody who doesn't know who Kevin Blanche is, all you have to do is go over to YouTube and put into the find bar, the browser bar, Kevin D. Blanche, and you can do it all together. It'll take you over to his YouTube page, and there you can listen to Kevin expand on several topics, not the least of which is every issue we are dealing with in the moment. I also want to, before we get into this, I would like to say that I am looking for this gentleman, Mr. Gupta, who writes for the Independent in New York. You guys know the Independent newspaper. It's the union paper, or INDYPEN. Do you know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay, well, Mr. Gupta, one of the writers there, another fellow, went over the Kickstarter, started up we want to raise some money to publish, and they have just published, I guess on Saturday, the first edition of the first Occupied Wall Street Journal came out. Now, I think that's
great.
Cool.
Yeah, that is.
I think so. So, Kevin, tell me something. What have you been thinking about lately? What's tipped off there as this goes on?
Well, the thing is, you know, the Occupying Wall Street stuff is finally risen up, you know, and the youth of America are finally starting to get some unrest. And, you know, I'm a socioeconomist, and I like to step back like Millet, my favorite artist. You know, he used to paint the peasant scenes in Normandy, you know, and step back and view from the wider perspective. And this whole thing, all of this, it's a philosophy that has been perforated on the American public over the last 30 years, and all the environmental issues, the economic issues, the social issues, they all come down to the same thing. This is nothing more than a giant mirror smokescreen for redistribution of wealth to the top. You know, it's trickle-up economics.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I say it all the time, it's the economics of it, stupid, to steal Carville's line, but it's so true, and this is history repeating itself from 1930.
Yeah.
If you got one second, I got one line I'd like to read right before we get going.
Yeah,
you guys will probably know who said this. Okay. The rulers of the exchange of mankind's goods have failed through their own stubbornness and their own incompetence. 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Well, FDR, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so prevalent to what's going on. I think a lot of people forget that when the crash in 29 happened, FDR did not become president until 1933.
Right.
And we had 2-3 years of Hoover to fester, you know, and this is Hooverville, you know, just
right.
What? How many blocks away is Wall Street from Central Park, you know? Not very far. You know, so here we are, Hooverville all over again. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on Wall Street for a long time. You know, I worked there and in the 90s, and, you know, the writing's been on the wall for a long time on this. It's just, in 1933, people forget that this radical conservative idealism that Hoover perpetrated, and you play back Hoover speeches with Bush's speeches, if you couldn't recognize the voice, they're verbatim.
Right.
And it took a long time, and you still have the neocons running this country, you know, but there was an undertow, you know, via Woodrow Wilson, via the Bull Party, even Teddy, you know. There was an undercurrent. People forget Deeds got 6% of the vote from prison. And there was an undercurrent of people that thought this is just plain unfair. And then it got poor and poor, but it took a long time to fester. Everybody thinks everything crashed in 29-30, and then everybody revolted and we got the New Deal. It took a long time for it to happen.
It took a long time. As a matter of fact, Republicans still controlled Congress by at least one vote, I think it was, in as late as 1932. So it was the election of 33
when
the Democrats came in.
36 is when they, you know, FDR, the famous thing, goes, what, in the 1 year, how many vetoes did he sign? What was it, 690?
Yeah.
You know, when he first got in there.
This president doesn't do that. He kind of dances with them. Hey,
well, neither did the last one. Same thing, you know.
No.
Mr.
You know, the thing is, you know, I remember when the election was going on, and Clinton has a conversation with Obama, even after he's elected, and and he's saying, you think you're going to be this great transformational president, and you're just going to bring these people together, you are in fairy tale land.
Yeah.
You know, and he really believed, I think he got so full of himself, and he got so egotistical that he was like the next Messiah when he was elected, that I can do this, you know? I mean, he followed George Bush's playbook that God put me in this place at this time for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, he got carried away with his own importance and power.
He
and
did.
And he's found out pretty quickly that wasn't the case.
No, and all this time of pandering to the far right, you know, in this one-party politics that we've had in this country for 30 years, people forget. We have had not – the progressive movement died in this country on June 6, 1968. The day that Bobby Kennedy was killed, we have not had a progressive since.
Mm-hmm.
We have not. Yeah. I mean, really, you bring out your textbook. My daughter, when she was in high school, brings out her social science textbook, and here I'm a professor, and I open it up, and you know, it's a great book, really nice book, and I look for it, and they had coined it, and this was years ago, 1980 till present, the Great Conservative Movement, and I'm like, well, somebody gets it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Jeez.
Well,
what's going
happened
on?
Ever since Reagan was elected, we've heard very little from the progressive side of the spectrum, and it's been to our detriment because we've been steamrolled. Everybody else except for the very wealthy have been steamrolled by this conservative mudslide that has ripped money out of our pockets and redirected it upwards, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it was, I'm an economist. You know, I was mentored and raised by one of the greatest economists in this freaking country ever. You know, I write a lot about him. But anyway, it's no coincidence that the Fed was ran by the progressives. Mm-hmm. And from 1945 to 1980, we created the strongest middle class in the history of the world when the progressives ran the Fed.
We were the envy of the rest of the world.
Yes.
Oh, it was a powerhouse. You know, it's no coincidence all these great cars. Go ahead.
That's the anchor of that exceptionalism. What bothers the hell out of me is they use that term so often, those goddamn bastards on the other side of the road. Mm-hmm. And basically what they're doing is they're robbing what was built on the backs of liberals, you know, what liberals achieved. Yeah.
Sure. Liberals propose, liberals pass, and then conservatives grumble about it. And if they can't overturn it, then they slowly but surely adopt it. And they've always done this, you know, nothing new.
Yeah, right. They, you know, the thing is, like I said, and I break all these issues down to economics. I really do. I'm very Freudian. You know, I break it down. When Volcker was head of the Fed, he raised that rate to 17-18%, and everybody had a fit. It's called classical medicine, and it worked. And it created the short-term prosperity we had in the 90s. But the whole time, when Greenspan come in, who's the fake Ayn Rander, you know, a lot of people don't realize that he did his PhD on Ayn Rand, and if you have a conversation with him today, he will tell you Ayn Rand is an economist. He will tell you that.
Oh, my God.
People don't realize that this shift.
She was a fraud.
Yes.
She was a fraud.
Yes, absolutely. Alan Greenspan did his PhD on Ayn Rand. He's a self-proclaimed Ayn Rander all through college. He's the Ayn Rander. So we went, as Steinbeck said it, it's repeating itself. We went from the we to the I. We were the we all through the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. We really were the we in this country.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And we went back to the I.
Yep,
you know, and his philosophy of cutting the rate, you know, the Fed has one charter. That is to control inflation. That's it. The charter of the Fed is just two lines. To control inflation, and the only tool they have is the interest rate. Well, in 2000, when inflation started to rear its head in 2000, they had their eye over there on the stock market. Every time the market would start sliding, oh, lower the rate to pass by their Wall Street freaking buddies, you know, because that's who was giving them the money to lobby,
well, was,
you know. And
that was the cost of deregulation, am I right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, this free market fairy tale fantasy island freaking philosophy that we've, you know, I say it all the time,
yeah.
When is this country going to wake up and realize that these radical far-right economic policies that we've adopted
right.
from 87 till present have
failed?
And we hear every economist with the same thing, even the liberal economists, they babble the same bullshit over and over and over. They sit and fight about taxes or freaking structure when the real issue is protectionism, and it's
mm-hmm.
always been that issue. Hell, Hamilton wrote, we had protection, we had tariffs and duties in this country from 1776 all the way to 1994
right,
of some
right.
fashion. You know, they got weaker
yeah.
and stronger. And when we need a radical, radical shift in economic policy, and Obama, he just walked right, you know, he gets elected as the great progressive, as Clinton, everybody, you know, Clinton ran as, I'm the next Kennedy. Yeah, right. And then he signs NAFTA.
Right.
I mean, here we go. We got Bernanke. We've got the same.
Yeah.
They're all far-right neocons
mm-hmm.
with the same
yeah,
radical
neocons.
Philosophies.
Yeah.
Yes. Free market fairy tale. You know, zero interest rates. And it's ridiculous until this country shifts economic policy, radically shifts it, like
mm-hmm.
they did in the New Deal.
Yeah.
You know, this happened before. This has happened several times in our history.
Mm-hmm.
And until that happens, until people wake up and address the real issue, the real issue is nothing more than cheap labor, slaves in China. We
yeah.
take our
oh
jobs
God,
and move them
yes.
to China.
Right.
And
37 cents an hour.
Yeah.
It seems like they're doing the same thing here. They're trying to put, they have tried to set it up to, if you want, you know, they're busting the unions. They're bringing down.
Oh, yeah.
They
busted the unions.
Down, they're bringing down the per hour, the oh God, guys, help me out here.
Minimum
wage. Minimum wage. They're bringing
yeah.
that down, boy, having a senior moment, I guess. And they're also everything, and it seems like to me they're rushing to get it done here. Is it me or are they rushing to get it done?
I think they know that their time in Congress and in power is limited because the people have finally had it. And I think the proof of that is starting to spring up all across the country. And forget
oh, yeah.
Democrat,
oh.
forget Republican, it doesn't matter. It's people power nowadays. And people are fed up, correctly so, and they want change, and they want it now. And they don't want Tea Party change. They want real change, which is the kind of change Kevin's talking about, radical economic change. And it can't come a minute too soon as far
well,
as I think
cultural,
all of us are concerned.
And cultural change, too.
Yes,
there's
oh,
a,
yeah.
A lady in the chat room listening, and she's putting her thoughts down, and she says that a cultural boost would also be great in education.
Very true.
Especially, I've heard you say that, Kevin, on your
video. Well, it all ties
video.
Together. It all
yeah, it
ties together.
Goes hand in hand.
Smart
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a philosophy. It's a philosophy. Look, it's just like the illegal labor thing. We never had no fence. We never had a fence. And it's
right.
like, well, I call it with a Sarah Palin wink and a nod, we pay these guys cash and everything. It is not the exploiter. It is the exploiter. And these
yeah.
people like it just the way they are. It is the status quo. The jobs in China, the illegal labor, the smashing down of union, it is all the same thing to empower the 1%. And they trick people via religion. The Karl Rove playbook, who, by the way, is, you know, a local guy here, you know, the Karl Rove playbook, he indoctrinated, he turned the Republican Party into religion and economic
yeah.
philosophy into religion. These
yep.
people, 85% of people who attend any church on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
check the elephant. And they know this. And so
yeah.
they'll vote against their own best interest. They'll vote against their job. They'll vote against their environment. They'll vote against their, you know, self-well-being.
Yeah,
because they think somehow they are the voting for the vote of God somehow.
I think a lot of that started with Jerry Falwell and his moral majority nonsense.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Majority nonsense. And he had a heavy hand in propelling Ronald Reagan to the White House. And the
yes.
Republicans have allied themselves with that cause ever since. And it served them well for the most part.
It's well, hell, it works.
Yeah.
The Judeo-Christian, even Islamic, that monotheism is an isolationist kind of a tool to use against someone, I mm-hmm. think, to when it is about, you know, going in and journeying within and finding your own, you know, anchor to the world you live in and who you really are and a faith, mm-hmm. that's fine. But it is right now being used and has been used for thousands of years as an isolating tool,
yes.
in order to take to collect taxes or to mm-hmm. corral people in certain parts of the
Pay the Dragon Slayer, which we've done for the last 10 years. We've done nothing but Pay the Dragon Slayer for 10
right.
years.
Right.
You know,
there you go.
You know, this religious radical, I call them the great fake radical Christians. Beware mm-hmm. of the fake radical freaking Christian industrialized
yeah.
nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who
yeah.
we are. We are the military, radical, industrial, fake Christian. There's nothing Christian about. In fact, there's nothing
exactly right.
pagan about them. There's nothing. You know,
they're irreligious. They're irreligious.
Yes, absolutely.
They're anti-Christian in their teachings and in their beliefs, and in this trickle-down economics is there's no Christianity in that whatsoever. And there are millions
of Bible
passages.
Well, you know, I'm not a very religious
passages.
Person.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a very religious person, but I grew up in a fundamental freaking Mormon family. I live in a fundamental Mormon community out here.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I live in Kool-Aid Nutcaseville. You know, hell, they can't force me out. But, you know, the Christian belief system, as these guys have manipulated, it is so asymmetric to anything to do with Christianity. Like I tell
right.
everybody, I got news for you. Jesus Christ was a liberal.
Yeah,
one.
Exactly
he
right.
Was a rebel.
Yes, I had a post last year just that said that exact same thing.
Did you guys hear what Bill Maher said this last Friday about he did a bit about I have it recorded on my phone, I just didn't get it loaded up. He did a bit about Jesus being the new Republican candidate finally, but he gave every reason why they would
great.
Kick his ass out quick. You know, he just wouldn't make it.
Well, you know, I tell everybody, I just – you know, Jesus Christ threw the moneylenders out of the temple. You know, I tell them, these neocons look at me, these car dealer and loan shark. And, you know, they turned into loan sharks. And, you know, I tell everybody, I'm not just one of these guys that rants. I'm an economist. We could turn this economy around in a
yes.
split second with two things. With two mm-hmm. things. One, tariffs, 25 to 50% tariff on any exploited labor good. Not in Europe.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
not in Canada. Any
right.
slave labor, 25 to 50% tariff would turn around to usury laws.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when this country had usury laws and the
yeah.
maximum interest rate you could charge was 5% above prime?
Even
you know what prime is
so
right
bad.
Now?
Yep.
Prime is less than 1%.
Jesus.
Yeah, they're almost non-existent today.
Yeah, they are not. I mean, hell, right here, the big businesses that have propped up here, buy here, pay here, you know, cash
mm-hmm.
checking here, 360% interest rates, and most of them call themselves
yeah.
Christians, you know.
Oh, I know.
You know, it kills me. It kills me.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it's
if
crazy,
we had a usury law that was 5-6% above prime, the maximum interest rate anybody could charge would be 6-7%. So the Fed
mm-hmm.
lowers the rate down to zero, and they're out of weapons. Well, who does that benefit? I did a study in my socioeconomic study that less than 10% of the United States population get benefit from that, because the banks get it at 0%. They go to the Fed window. They don't reloan it. And in theory, the mortgage rate, oh, yeah, you get a mortgage at 4%. Go try getting a mortgage at 4%. Oh, you had a late payment in 1982. How does 24% sound to you? Okay, sign up here.
Do you know what they're going to suggest as a solution to all of the foreclosure and empty homes? You know how many empty homes are out there in this country
right now. It's unbelievable.
October 12th, Dr. Flowers and Kevin Zaviv and Chris Hedges and the rest of them in their workshops that they'll be conducting in their occupation of Freedom Plaza this Thursday in Washington, D.C., one of their solutions, and I find this brilliant, is to make public housing out of all of these, especially in California
great.
With all the – that's one of their solutions.
Yeah,
it's
I love
not
it.
Just about, it's not just about going and occupying. It's about
Ooh.
Working with the community and coming up with solutions. And, you know, a great old community organizer like the president, you'd think he'd get behind some of this stuff.
You would think so.
Yeah, but he's got to get elected.
He's got to get elected.
Wall Street's
got
to freaking. Yeah, right. Hmm. No, he, you know, we didn't know much about him, but he surely was not a progressive. You know, we got fooled. I mean, we got tricked.
Act.
We got tricked.
Yeah, he's
a conservative. You know, just like the Wall Street marched in front of him.
A better actor than
Reagan. Reagan was way more liberal than this guy.
I believe it or not.
I mean, seriously, think about the immigration policy. You know, the great purple president.
Reagan was a heck of a lot. I saw a picture of Nancy Reagan sitting in the front row as they were filming Chris Christie, who is now becoming the new, you know, Republican.
Oh, he's the flavor of the week. He's a joke.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, when they're going to wake up and realize it isn't their candidates, they get it one, they pop it up, and they fell, and they get another one, they pop up, fell, and they get another. It's their policies.
Exactly.
You know, that's when they need to realize.
That's
you know,
right.
The radical far-right kiss the corporate ring policies.
That's
people
right.
finally woke up. It took these morons 30 years to pull their head out of their ass, but they finally starting to do it, and it's the youth.
Yeah.
Our generation is baby boomers. We just sit and stare at our 401K, and then, you know, they masked over the last 10 years. Let's go kill them for our fake radical freaking wars that we masked this over. The nominal income.
There's damn few activists in our crowd. I agree with you.
It's unbelievable. It's sad. You know, when my light went on in my head, because I've been an activist for years.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He wouldn't believe it. I'll tell you what, my light went on when Cindy Sheehan tried to organize and no one would back her. But the last year, when the Pat Tillman documentary came out, and I was lucky enough to get to watch it before it come out, and my father was killed, you know, and I was so emotionally total. I said, this country is going to freak out when they see. This is going to be the biggest story of our time. No one cared. No one watched it. No one gave a damn. Nobody. I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know if anybody out there who listened to this has seen that, but if they haven't, they need to see it. He was murdered by his own man, and it was General McChrystal, and right from the top, Cheney and Bush, who orchestrated using this guy murdered by his own man as a propaganda tool to wrap him up in the flag to promote others into the cause.
Just,
I mean,
HBO just did a movie on it, didn't they?
Yes. It was very good, the HBO movie. But the independent documentary is, you know, really in detail that came out last year. But it was his mother who took on the United States government. I say it all the time. The liberal activists out there, where are they? You know, it's been the females that have tried. It is the women. But these liberal men that have evolved, I don't know what they've morphed themselves into, to the great debating society. I tell people in the 30s and the 60s, when we got radical change, you think this was done passively? I mean, you better get out in your freaking books and read about what went on in the 30s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was pure bloody.
Women had to in the 60s and early 70s when the women's movement was becoming so much more expanded. I want to remind you guys there were broads like Bella Abzug hanging around and Shirley Chisholm and Barbara Jordan.
Oh, yes.
And reminds me of Maxine Waters. I saw her on Oberman the other night and I thought, you know, that's one politician I think she'd like to tell the president to go stuff himself. Tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Or as Kevin would say, to go fuck himself.
Well,
but
there's a handful of progressives out there that are making some noise. Bernie Sanders is another.
Yes.
Maxine Waters.
I love Bernie.
Oh,
he's the best. He's the only one.
He is the best. He has a clear vision.
He's the only progressive in that freaking joke we have.
Yeah, I know.
The buffoon crowd. But you get a lady like Maxine Waters. And there are other women there are politicians who really care. They're banging against the wall and they know it. Then you get guys down here, like, you know, Alan Grayson's coming back strong down here.
Good.
I hope he gets elected again.
He is doing
everything he can. You know, Kevin, I'm in Alan West's district. I will be working against
him. That used to be Grayson's district, right?
Yeah.
No, Grayson's over with Anita in Tampa.
That's right.
Yeah. And
we had a pretty good progressive in. We had one male progressive in Congress, believe it or not, who I really liked, who really spoke with passion and really got angry. He was a pure progressive, and he ended up being a freaking sexter, you know, Anthony Weiner. You know, I'm like, God, here the Democrats go again. You know, here the liberals go get, what was the great quote Will Rogers said? I don't belong to any organized party. I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, they find a way to freaking screw themselves up. Oh,
yeah.
They'll shoot themselves in the freaking ass every time, over and over and over.
Yeah.
What they're calling them over in the left area is Republicrats.
Mhm.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Oh, they're everywhere.
I like that.
The Dinos, the Republicrats are everywhere.
It's just incredible. And now with all of these people amassing in the cities, and you know, I opened the show yesterday with Liza Minnelli, New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. You just
right.
gotta love. You gotta give.
I lived there a long time. My family lives there in Lower Manhattan right now. My daughter's house is right there, freaking in Lower Manhattan. You know,
mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of my life right there.
Yeah.
It's a great town, and right up the road from it is Boston, and Boston is amassing right now too. So is Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if those three cities up there really get it banging, that's
mm-hmm.
and the people that are in solidarity begin on Thursday, taking over Freedom Plaza. Remember, this crowd that is the crowd that went into New York. Is very grassroots and the unknowns who
mm-hmm.
came with Adbusters and the Anonymous crowd.
Right.
Now you've got October 2011, and you've got Margaret Flowers, you've
mm-hmm.
got Chris Hedges, you've got Brother Dr. Cornell West, you've got...
And that's in Washington.
And you've got all kinds of names and writers and liberals and... Uber liberal.
I'll tell you what, the reason the liberal movement, the progressive movement has failed in this country, and I say this over and over and over, and if anybody doesn't believe that it hasn't failed for 40 years, the conservative movement has steamrolled, the conservatives have got any and every single thing. The liberals have not, and the progressives have not won one single battle. And I'll tell you, it's real simple. Why? Because they indoctrinated this theology. I call them, they need to change their logo to the butterfly. Because they forgot how to fight. They
mm-hmm.
forgot how to fight. They forgot how to get angry. You know, you listen to Harry Truman's whistle stop speech.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever listened to that or read that?
Oh,
yeah, I loved it. You know, in 1948. Obama needs to take it up. He stands in front of those people and he says, you know what, you lazy bastards stayed home. You wouldn't even go vote, so you got this do-nothing Congress. You got exactly what you deserve. If that's what
right.
you want, go ahead, have it. Have it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
yeah.
what he would
yeah.
say. He would get all aggressive.
Well, you know, another thing, too, liberals have been outmaneuvered by sneaky, infiltrative groups like ALEC. You know about ALEC, right, Kevin?
Yes, I do.
The American
Legislative
Executive Council.
You know what? Expand on that, guys, so that the listeners will know what you're talking about.
Oh, ALEC. You know what? It was started by a bunch of guys who couldn't win elections on their own. They kept getting defeated because they were so far right and so out of the mainstream. So they thought they'd get sneaky, and what they'd do is they'd form a group to educate. They called it educate. I call it brainwash. Legislators at the state level, and so they started, and they now have 2,000 active members. And what they do is they have conventions three times a year, and they pass what they call model bills. These are bills that are designed to be anti-worker, anti-consumer, anti-environment, pro-business all the way, and they try to get legislators to adopt these into actual laws, and they've had a lot of success at the state level and even to a certain extent at the national level. So, you know, where you go from the state, you go to the national, and that's what's happening. And they've had a lot of success behind the scenes, under the table, just like the Koch brothers. And that's the problem we're facing. Liberals deal above board.
The thing is,
and they deal, you know.
And the liberal thing, and I break it down again. I'm Freudian, and I break it down economics. But I grew up in this town. I live right here by my WPA elementary school, right through the field where I live, where I grew up. And the average school teacher, when I was a kid in this town, and I broke it down economically in my socioeconomics, the average school teacher in this town in today's dollars made $120,000 a year in today's dollars.
Wow.
So as they dumped me down, they broke the unions here in 1980, and the average hour, now they make $30,000. As the teacher gets poorer and poorer and poorer, the student becomes dumber and dumber, and as the masses become more ignorant and more ignorant, you can use these religious fairy tale bullshit tricks. It's like, you know, right after Iraq, I took out, I used to do this study. well, I did this earlier this year again. I took out my flip camera, and I did 2,000 interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one, what is your opinion on Congress? Hang on, we hate him. Verbatim, 2,000 for 2,000. Second mm-hmm. question, who's your congressman? No one knew. 96 people freaking got it right. No one knew.
Bad,
you know, and it's just
really
lack
bad.
Of education. And
oh,
so
yeah.
I tell everybody, part of a protest movement at the grassroots, and this is grassroots, and it's going for the first time I can smell it. Part of a good protest movement is, number one, is educating your population. As you protest, you must educate, and you must
right.
give them knowledge that they don't have about how their nominal wage has been smashed for 40 years and
yeah.
how in 1975 the average worker made the average worker in this country, the average CEO made only four times what the average worker made. The average athlete only made three times. Now they make 1,800 times. Look,
yeah.
this is nothing but, all of this is nothing but a redistribution of wealth to the top, and the rest is
that's
all
right.
semantics.
That's right.
And it's basic. That's their basic agenda, and they pull
mm-hmm.
people, you know, the working class person who is underemployed. Being underemployed is worse than being unemployed,
mm-hmm.
and I could
right.
prove why. You know, I wrote a chapter in my book called Home, Homeless, Happy. I can
mm-hmm.
prove to you that the average homeless person in the last 15 years is much better off than the average working class American. He is not buried in debt. His health is actually a little bit better. His stress, he's not blown out freaking fat. And the obesity problem is pure economic stress. That's being proven over and over and over. So these people need to be educated. Okay, I don't have a job and our economy smashed, but they need to be educated in why. Why has that happened? Nothing but redistribution of wealth via Wall Street. It's like this. Your 401k was born in 1980. In 1980, less than 10% of the United States population owned stocks. The stock market has always been casinos. But people who
right.
played the market knew that. They knew that. We born the 401k. By 1990, we had 90-something percent. So you got all this stupid, lazy money laying out there. Well, if a CEO is paying himself a whole bunch of money and underperforming, they have what they call a proxy, a vote every year by law. These people would descend
yeah.
on it, and they would throw his ass out. Well, now who are the
right.
shareholders, 401k holders? And they can't even read. People do things because they can. This greed has to be regulated, and they do this because
oh, yeah.
they can.
They need to reintroduce heavy regulatory measures, and I don't
yes.
see it happening right soon, but it's got to happen again. It's crazy.
Less government has created more government. Yes, look at it. Yeah, look at the intro. I got a beautiful story about antitrust laws. I've been involved in some litigation as of late on an insurance, and a lawyer sent me, it was an antitrust law, believe it or not, against AIG that started years and years ago. It finally
Ooh.
Settled.
Mm-hmm.
I thought my share of it, okay, I carry around the check in my wallet. They owed my piece of it was about $20,000 that
mm-hmm.
they had robbed me over the years of my workman's compensation, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how much my check was I received? $4.65.
Isn't that disgusting? That's wow. unbelievable.
Well, we don't enforce antitrust laws. I mean, Apple
sure
is in grotesque violation. You know, look at Walmart. Is the guy who was second in line at Walmart is from this
God.
Town. He spoke up at our university in 1998, and I was up there, and I was teaching them, and I raised my hand, and this is 1998, and I says, how are you going to address antitrust issues when you're already in violation? And you say you've got this big growth potential. How are you going to? And the dean about spit his coffee across the board, and he couldn't answer it, didn't answer it, wouldn't answer it. But, you know, they're anti-competitive. Like I said, big business has created less business.
Oh, yeah.
Less government has created more government.
Right, exactly.
You know, this pro-business bullshit, and these guys call themselves, these lying, fucking, you know, they call themselves job creators. This has been nothing but slave creators. I am so
yeah, well,
disgusted.
You've got
sick of hearing
like
these
Alec
job
out
creators.
There basically writing legislation for senators and also representative people to pass and getting
yeah.
it into the Congress and getting it passed. That's outrageous.
It is
outrageous.
Really truly is. Corporations that are running the country.
Yes.
The guys, you can tell, I don't, you know, it just, it really, I sit and I listen to guys like John Boehner speak or Mitch McConnell, and I think
phew.
To myself, you know, I grew up in a household full of, you know, on my dad's side, they were the lawyers or politicians, and they didn't speak that way. They were intelligent, bright men who had emotional values and ethics. And it was about giving back to the community and enjoying the fruits of your wealth. Yes,
right.
But you give back to the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell everybody, you want pure capitalism. You know what? You want a pure capitalistic market? Go over to India. Go over to India and look at this billion-dollar skyscraper guys living in, and right below him, thousands and thousands of people living in cardboard huts. That's what you want?
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you're rich,
yeah.
you want to live in that? But the problem is these corporation CEOs have made – they brought the kitty for so long and made so much money, they don't even care now because they don't live here. It's like I say GM and all these American companies. There's nothing American about them. They don't employ anybody
here.
They're
completely
divorced
from
don't make anything
of the population.
Here.
They're divorced from the population. It's dangerous.
They have an American name is all they have. They don't pay any taxes here. They don't build anything here. They don't sell anything here.
Right.
And they surely don't live here.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the south
and
of France.
And yet they're running the fucking country because they're paying the lobbyists who go over and write all of the new laws that keep the deregulation in place.
Now, think about this. Speaking of McConnell and Boehner and people like that, think about the 56% or 57% of the American voter who voted for them. Now, think about those people.
Well, they're brainwashed.
Yeah, I mean,
they're completely brainwashed and ignorant. You know, they don't.
Well,
know
there's the word ignorant. I turned this movement a long time ago. Post ignorance, a counter to neo ignorance. In my PhD study, my socioeconomic study, I set out to prove that Americans have become the dumbest they have done in the modern world.
Yeah.
And there's a famous Harvard test out there that's been laid out, and I used it over and over, and it's been used over and over and over. And basically, it's a subset of 10 questions. And you go out, you know, they lay out a map, and you have to name, I believe, California, Kentucky, and Minnesota. They lay out a map, and you have to show where France and, I believe, Spain is. And then you have to name two Supreme Court justices. In 1955, 70% of people were passing it. By 1980, the numbers stayed fairly high clear till 1980. They are off a cliff. And I teach, you know, I did for years. I taught at the MBA level. I have students in there who are brilliant, by the way, brilliant, who I'll say, name me two Supreme Court justices, and they can't do it. Our system is poor. It is freaking lack of education in so many ways, and the liberals have lost their way in educating their masses. You know, they should have been pounding this job thing for years. They should have been pounding saying, look, you realize your nominal wage has been declining for 40 years by the 1% is increasing. They should have hammered that home for the last 30 years, and they didn't.
You know,
because
they
jumped over
to
the Republican
Party. Little bit of that coming out, thank God, Kevin. It's good because Occupy Wall Street is a tremendous development. It kind of almost sprang out of nowhere. And look at the amount of occupies that have resulted from that. This Friday, I'm going to an Occupy Minnesota event down at the Government Center downtown Minneapolis at 6th Street and 3rd Avenue South, and that's where people are going to be. And that's just Minnesota. I mean, it's going on in Madrid. It's going on in London. It's going on in Tel Aviv. It's going on all over the world and all over the country, too. And, of course, the main media is not covering it much at all.
But they're
going to have to someday because it's going to be overwhelming.
Well,
the mainstream media has obliterated themselves. Go ahead.
Oh, they're terrible.
The challenge, gentlemen, right now the challenge is to become a new media. We have to get and we have the tools to do it.
Yes.
We're working with
a
global consciousness here.
That's right.
This internet.
You would not believe my YouTube site when I started my YouTube channel was an argument between me and another freaking professor, and I was working on my PhD, that I could say the word fuck on the internet. You know, and what's her name? What's her name who they tried to block as the finance czar, the professor, the woman? What's
Elizabeth
her name?
Warren?
How come I can't think of
Elizabeth
Warren.
Warren.
I love her. I love
her.
I vote for her president tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know, and they block her. And I said, I watched an interview with her, and she says, oh, no. She says, it's still wide open, and we are never going after that. You know, we're going to leave it open. And the Supreme Court ruled, and I saw him. No, I could say fuck all I want.
Yeah.
So I started putting up these YouTube videos, and I have been astounded. You would not believe the thousands and thousands and thousands of brilliant emails I've got from every corner of the world. I have people in Saudi Arabia watch my videos. I have people in freaking Africa, all over, and they communicate with me. You know, this YouTube, the great soapbox of this world, it is the greatest tool.
Facebook and Twitter,
social media.
It's fabulous.
This is how all of these occupations, these revolts are happening through the social nets,
right,
and through us putting the word out there and getting people involved. You also have to walk out in the community and engage people. I mean, I do want to mention here that, and he's in the chat room, there's a few people in there that I'd like to mention because they're also, like you, Jack, going to the Occupied, like Anita Stewart's in there, and she is on the, I think she's gotten herself onto the committee of Occupied Tampa here in Florida. And if she isn't on today, then she'll be on this week reporting back, and it begins Thursday there. Mm-hmm. And then also, I know, has gone over, I think, I'm not sure, maybe his daughters are over at the Occupy San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And P.E. Nolan, or Trisha, is Trisha Poole, from Round 37. She has been going down to New York, to Wall Street, and, you know, taking things and joining them there when she can on her time off. So everybody is getting in there. There is nothing around me so far. But, hey, guys, I take my Guy Fawkes mask, and I go over to the grocery store, and I engage that way.
Yeah, right.
I'm not kidding you.
Well, you're doing what you can.
It works.
And all anybody can do is what they can do. That's it.
You know, I tell people all the time, you know, if you put up a YouTube video or do a radio show or do a write something, I don't care if two people watch it. You are making a difference because those two people tell two more people. And those two people, it moves. That's how this thing needs to stay grassroots. And I tell people, be careful of who you let in that tent. And all the great grassroots revolution movements, all of them have one component, and that's why they're such magnificent, beautiful things. This component has the ability to bring all race, creed, and class together, irregardless of racism, irregardless of economic status, irregardless of religious philosophy, even left, because it's your job, it's your money. It can bring everybody into this tent, just like it did in the 1930s.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing has the ability to really be a huge cultural movement. I'll tell you something, as a socioeconomist, there's one glaring aspect that has happened over the last first few years for the first time in world history. As economies get weaker, as ours has, crime rates go up. They're perfectly correlated, and they have been in the time of man. Murder rates are almost perfectly. Do you realize the economy has crashed, and murder rates are going down?
Yeah.
For the first time in world history. You know what it is? Technology. Technology. It's social media. People are not afraid, you know, saying everybody was hiding, you know, we don't want to be caught. People put all their information out there. Hell, they put their freaking address on YouTube, so there's nothing to hide. And not only that, everybody has a camera. There's surveillance. People get caught. People commit crimes because they can get away. They think they're going to get away with it. They know they're going to get caught, and that's why they don't do it. It is technology has done this. It's like the snowball fight, or not the snowball fight. You remember in Philadelphia when the cop that freaking smacked the kid upside the head because he threw a snowball?
Mm-hmm.
What did I read? There was 150 YouTube videos freaking put up within 5 minutes of the actual event happening.
Well, like the cop that smacked the kid off the bicycle. The cop that smacked the kid off the bicycle. Same thing, you know?
Yeah.
It gets out there.
I mean, it's the greatest thing. You can't hide, and it's, you know, just like, you know, the Arab Spring, all of it. You know, it's like when Reagan takes credit for the freaking communist fall, which is total bullshit. Technology did that. It was satellite television. Those people started watching satellite, and they're like, what? Boy, are we being lied to, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly, yeah.
But
now we're on a crest of a new media revolution in this country, I think, because people have had it with the bullshit. They know Fox News is nothing but a propaganda organ for the Republican Party. They know the mainstream media is owned by six major corporations, and they aren't going to tell you the whole truth and the truth.
How about CNBC? CNBC, the giant propaganda freaking machine for CEOs. Kool-Aid cup on all of them.
Full of shit. CNBC's biggest joke.
I'm an economist, and I turn the volume down, you know, so I can watch, but I got to see the ticker because I trade. You know, I was on Wall Street for years. I was a derivative arbitrage specialist for years, very successful. I walked from Wall Street. I quit a job making almost $1 million a year. I walked.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you had the scruples to do that.
Well, it was a lot of things, but I seen that it was an old boys network, and it is not performance. It is not. I outperform people over and over. People can walk through on my YouTube site and see my financial videos, and if you followed my financial lead over the last 2 years, you made a fortune. You know, I mean, I'll outperform these guys here, but I didn't get paid by outperforming. It is grandpa, son. It is a pompous bunch of arrogant, two-bit-ass punks. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm watching CNBC right after this thing broke out last Monday, and I really got outraged. Grasso Jr., who's Dick Grasso's son, and his Cortez fund managers, who are terrible. You know, one's a floor trader, one with silver spoons so far up their ass and straight, never worked a day in their life, never made a penny in their life, and they start the segment like this. He
Trust
says,
funders.
"Hey Grasso."
Yep.
He says,
yep.
Grasso, was that your mom? I seen you down there out with those hippies down there protesting. And he says, yeah, I hope she didn't knock your mom over.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, keep laughing, motherfucker. You know?
Yeah.
It's sickening. It's sickening. That's the way they think. Trust me, I was on Wall Street. That is exactly how they think.
They're arrogant.
The outrageousness of the let them eat cake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
that
my big one.
Had.
Right.
With the
they
had the champagne, the video that's around of those guys going to the balcony
I
put up a video the other day, and I said the GOP rolls out their 2012 logo and slogan.
Yeah.
Let them eat cake.
Right.
You know, and then I said, you know, I've been telling everybody all weekend. I says Wall Street protesters not free. Jamie Dimon free. Wall Street protesters not free. Lloyd Blankfeld free. Wallchester protesters not free. Alan Paulson free. I mean, it's disturbing, you know, what they've done in this country from A to Z. And
well,
it's the American masses.
Let's hope that this groundswell of grassroots effort yields some real positive change. Slowly but surely, like anything, it's going to take a while, but let's hope that something does come of it. There are certainly more than enough people pissed off.
Well,
yeah, finally.
And it's building momentum. Just
it
one
is.
Moment, gentlemen.
That's
I'd
right.
like to play just a small clip here for everyone to hear and talk about regurgitating.
Yep.
Just one second.
My favorite part is looking at this hole. We got this hole, $1 trillion. On tax cuts for the rich under George Bush. We got into this hole $2 trillion on two wars that we put on a credit card for our children and grandchildren to pay off. And we got into this hole $1 trillion on a Medicare drug program that A, was not paid for, and B, is 40% more expensive than it needs to be because it was a giveaway to the drug company. So we just have, I mean, that's just $4 trillion right there. Part of the way you fix this problem is, like, don't do those things. I hear all this, you know, well, this is class warfare, this is whatever. No. There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. Nobody. You built a factory out there, good for you. But I want to be clear, you moved your goods to market on the roads the rest of us paid for.
Yep.
You hired workers. The rest of us paid to educate. You were safe in your factory because of police forces and fire forces that the rest of us paid for. You didn't have to worry that marauding bands would come and seize everything at your factory and hire someone to protect against this because of the work the rest of us did. Now look, you built a factory and it turned into something terrific or a great idea. God bless. Keep a big hunk of it. But part of the underlying social contract is you take a hunk of that and pay forward for the next kid who comes along.
She's great.
She's
very nice.
She's
very nice.
She's spectacular.
You know, in my CCO economic study, I got to throw this in real quick. And she said, you know, the $2 trillion war in Iraq, and I've broken down and proved this. And this is coming right from the CBO's data. You know what's that war really going to cost us? The Iraqi war. Really going to cost. $30 trillion.
Oh,
30. That is a fact. $30 trillion. And we're talking about
budget buster.
13.
That is a budget buster. It's terrible.
There you go.
Neocon adventurism has cost us greatly.
Yeah, and as far as the factory goes, you know, all those laws that she talked about that we paid for, you know, we fought for them, and people bled for them, and people died for them, they backdoored it, just shipped it to China. You know, to hell with EPA laws, go to China. To hell with freaking paying, you know, as Henry Ford said, why are you paying your workers so much? You don't need to pay them much. These are the same people that have to buy these things from me. Mm-hmm. People have lost track of that. CEOs don't give a damn about that. It's like Steve Jobs. I say he would go down as the greatest CEO of our time, but I call him Steve Chinese Jobs. There's a difference between him and Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Ford is the greatest CEO this country has ever freaking had because he understood that just what she just said. He understood exactly what she said. There are no factories here now, so we can't even have that argument. They're in China with 37 cents an hour slaves. I don't know if you people know this, but a lot of people don't know this, but there are towers over there these people work in. Do you know that they're putting nets and padding around because these people are jumping to their deaths in droves over there?
Oh, my God.
They are communists, number one.
Yeah.
Number one, they're communists. Number two, they employ child slaves, polluting the earth. Number three, how about all the people that fought in Nam and Korea? Now, didn't we fight off the 17th parallel? Weren't we fighting off Chinese communism? And wasn't that the neocon battle cry? And now the neocons, the same people that our fathers bled and died for, and our friends bled and died for, wiped out a whole mass of people. Now we just go in there and say, oh, hey, you're our buddies now.
Well, the Chinese are no longer practicing Marxism. They're practicing capitalism. That's exactly what they're doing. It's their version of it, but they've perverted that as well. See, corporatists have ruined everything.
I've got a contest I had going on in my class to name the new economic structure, what it's called in China. It's some version of freaking capitalism mixed with communism, and I've got all kinds of creative answers. Nobody's really coined it yet, but somebody's got to coin it because it is the most abstract, craziest, economic freaking system. And it's all, you know, the thing is, we are still the great consumer economy here. We still consume almost 30% of everything made in the world.
Right.
And
but
the only difference is we have tariffs.
That's going to change.
You know, it's going to change.
Gentlemen, I got to break in on you. Kevin, you are always great. You always come in and educate me for one. Love listening to it. I hope you will come back in the next week or so, because we are here every damn day, as I said before. We were supposed to have Anita Stewart from Tampa, Occupy Tampa. I'm going to have to ask Anita to come back either tomorrow or the next day. And please remember, everybody listening in, Here Be Monsters is broadcasting 4 p.m. on the weekdays, 4 to 6, in solidarity with the Occupy Wall Street group.
Mm-hmm.
And what is coming up next, the reason that we close off 1 hour now on Sundays is because our friends over at Progressive News Network are on now, coming up at the top of the hour in about 2 minutes. And Rick Spisak is going to have Ed Wojciech and a few others, Susan Smith, Amy Tidd, people from Florida who are part of the October 2011 campaign that's going to be occupying Washington, D.C. and on Thursday.
Yeah,
so we want you all to go over to Progressive News Network. You can find that right here on Blog Talk Radio. We will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. The drum line banging in solidarity. Kevin, I cordially invite you, even come and host a show when you have the time here, because we're going to be on every day. And Anita, I know you can hear me in there. I see you there. We just didn't have the moments. We're going off the air in a minute, so I'm sorry about that, but we will bring you on tomorrow or Tuesday. I know that Anita's group, Occupy Tampa, is going to be getting up on Thursday, too. They're going to begin on Thursday also. So
everybody
really
go to occupytogether.org and see where the happening is in your locale.
That's right. Hey, Kevin, thanks so much for being
with us today.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah,
and
great talking to you guys. And,
yeah.
And
definitely.
I'll say one last thing before I go. Unite the clans.
Yes.
There you go.
All right, go.
Well, have a great week, everybody. And
you too.
Keep abreast. Keep abreast of all the action. It's out there.
I will. I'm going to look, and I hope everybody does. I'll be on it.
Yep.
I'll be on it all week.
Have a good
one,
everybody.
You guys.
See you again.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And that's Hear Me Monsters for Sunday, October 2nd, 2011. Folks, remember, solidarity with the occupations everywhere they are right now. We will be back. We're here every damn day. We will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Also, Anita, everybody in the chat room, thank you, folks. Appreciate it. Jack, Kevin, and that's it to tonight.